Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. And, wow, it was, it was quite a weekend in central and southern Illinois, parts of the Midwest, tornadoes.
Some incredible weather.
Wow, a little surprising for this time of year.
Did seem out of place.
Unsettling, and we're sorry about the loss of some loss of life and certainly huge property loss.
Yeah.
And then think about, you know, what's going on in the Philippines still with just thousands and thousands displaced there in that typhoon, which is just a hurricane spinning the other way. Isn't that what it is? Or just a...
Yeah, I believe so. The hurricane at sea, just incredible power to those storms.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
A couple hundred mile an hour winds. And so it just reminds me that Thursday we have our monthly Ask the Professor coming up.
Yeah.
And I thought we would talk a little bit about, you know, where is God in the midst of those natural disasters? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those age-old questions. Don't know that Dr. Mark Muska or Professor Brad Sickler have any more answers than the last time we talked with them, but we're looking forward to having them on. And so if there's some questions that you have, I think we try and do it once a month anyway, where we open up the phone lines and open up our Bibles and take your questions, talking about the Bible, the faith, the church. And so if you've got something in mind and even want to drop us a note now, you could do that. You can go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page and send us your question there. We'll make sure we get it taken care of this Thursday.
We will hold on to it. If anybody could have an answer, it would be Dr. Mark Muska
and
Dr.
Brad Sickler. We're looking forward to get his perspective. And by the way, tomorrow, too, just a little highlight on that. Randy Newman joins us tomorrow, and we're going to talk about taking the gospel home. Randy's written a wonderful book called Bringing the Gospel Home, Witnessing to Family Members, Close Friends, and Others Who Know You Well. And it's very appropriate as we head into Thanksgiving to be thinking about that. Excited to get to today's guest and welcome him back to Connecting Faith. Whitney Cunningholm is the president of Scripture Union USA, and he's written several books. So we're going to reference a couple of them today, The Essential Bible Guide. And it is 100 readings through the world's most important book. He's also written The Essential Jesus, which is published by InterVarsity. And he, of course, speaks at churches and conferences. Scripture Union is an international Bible engagement ministry with two main emphases: to help people of all ages meet God in the Bible and prayer, and to reach the next generation with God's Word. And we'll talk about some of the resources that they have, but we're happy to have Whitney back with us. Whitney, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be back with you.
Say a word about Scripture Union. We just mentioned that it's got a couple of main focuses, but it's been around for a long time, too, right?
Yeah, it was started in 1867. It's spread all around the world. We're in 130 countries now, so it's an idea that's taken on a grassroots level. But, people often ask me, well, tell me about Scripture Union. What are you guys all about? And so I always boil it down to two words, and those two words are Bible engagement. So we don't translate the scriptures. We don't print Bibles. We leave that to our friends at the Bible societies. What we're about is trying to help people read it and live it. And, of course, in the United States and in many of the Western countries, that's the real key burning issue. And so we feel like we're on the cutting edge of the Bible work here. And that takes a lot of different forms, from programs and books to hands-on programs with at-risk kids and lots of things. But it all boils down to that one focus, engaging people in God's Word.
I would think that there's probably been a few changes in maybe the approach since the 1800s when it was up and running, or that the programs have expanded a little bit anyway, probably.
Yeah, they have expanded, and you're right. A lot has changed. I mean, the way Scripture Union started was a guy went out on a beach in North Wales and started engaging kids with the Word. Didn't have a real plan or sophistication, just wrote Bible verses in the sand and gathered kids around. After a few years, one of his volunteers said, you know, if kids are learning about the gospel and about the Bible, we really need to get them to read it regularly. So her name was Annie Marston. She came up with a simple list of Bible readings, got the kids reading it on a daily basis and gathering weekly to talk about it. And those two simple impulses, just a guy going out to reach, you know, young people with God's word and a young woman trying to get them to read it regularly, those two things ignited, and after about 10 years, there were 500,000 kids in England and Wales reading God's word regularly, gathering in groups, and then that spread all around the world. You know, long story short, that's what we do here in the U.S. And in every one of the 130 countries, it's, you know, indigenous leadership locally, local board and funded and all that stuff. So we're the Scripture Union in the U.S., and it takes very different forms, you know, how Scripture Union engages people and young people with the word in Peru or Southeast Asia or North America or whatever, very different, but it's that same heartbeat of, really, it's about engaging people with God in the context of his word, and that's what Scripture Union does.
You know, you talked about children. I mean, I guess the reality is, probably the sad reality is that there is a fair amount of biblical illiteracy that, you know, whether we're, you know, I mean, children don't even know some of the big stories, and many of us adults don't know nearly as much as we should either.
Yeah, that's true. Biblical illiteracy is, it is a big issue. People are less and less familiar with the Bible. Really at all ages, not just children, but adults and everyone in between. And I think it's because, you know, in some ways, you know, the Bible is being minimized and the Bible is being pushed to the margins of our, you know, our society. The Bible, you know, is kind of pushed out of the public square. And the real question is, what do we do about that? And I sometimes, you know, listen to Christian leaders and others that just have a real passion to get, you know, God's word back into the minds and hearts of people. But I would contend that the issue is really what Scripture Unit does. It's Bible engagement, because we are saturated with Bibles. You know, so it's not that it's not available. It's not that it's not around. Sometimes when we fight on the issues of, you know, the Bible is being pushed around and pushed away, you know, the Bible's right under our, right in front of us. It's in every public library. You can get more Bibles in a Barnes and Noble, you know, these days, or you can get it online for free. So it's not the availability of the Bible that's the issue, especially in Western countries. It's our engagement with it. And that's where I really think the cutting edge of solving the biblical illiteracy issue is. It's not just hammering people, you got to read it because you got to punch the clock for God, or, you know, or you know, you got to take your spiritual cod liver oil or something and read the Bible. No, it's helping people understand what it means to engage with God in his word. And once they get a taste for that, I've found that they just can't get enough of it. And that solves the biblical illiteracy problem, when people really get hungry and excited about God's word.
Well, along those lines, to maybe increase our hunger or increase our understanding, you put together some great resources. One of them, we want to talk about the Essential Bible Guide and also the Essential Jesus. And I guess maybe just to explain, you know, what those are, they're both 100 readings, but maybe to ask first, I mean, if we're saying that these are essentials, does that mean that there are some non-essentials in the Bible?
Well, not at all. You know, what these are is, it gives you 100 readings, two different storylines through the Bible. And the goal is to try to help people engage with God's word so they can get in more of it. All of God's word is essential, every word. But because most people are not reading God's word on a regular basis, the question then becomes, how do you start? And so that's what these are. The Essential Bible Guide is a very simple idea. It's 100 readings broken up into 50 Old Testament, 50 New Testament readings. If you read these essential 100 passages, you get the big picture of the Bible without getting bogged down. And it's a simple idea, but boy, it really works. You know, the research is that 90% of Americans have one or more Bibles. Most of us have many more than one. But less than 20% will ever read through the Bible, the world's greatest book, even once, in their lifetime. And so my contention and what I was thinking and praying about when I developed this book and the program that goes with it is, well, how do you get people into God's Word in the first place? How do you get them to see the big picture of the Bible so they have a grid and a framework to work from? And that's really where the Essential 100 is the reading schedule, but the Essential Bible Guide, the book. Now we've turned it into a program for whole churches and groups. So to date, over 2.5 million people have, well, we say, have taken the challenge. That is, they've read these 100 passages. And it's been translated into 20 languages. It's spread all around the world. And I say 2.5 million. Those are only the ones that we can count. Many more have downloaded it or used it, you know, online or whatever, that we can't count as well. But it's really becoming a way to help people who've said, you know, I really would like to read through the Bible. I've tried it. You know, I've tried the snowplow method. You know the snowplow method where you start reading Genesis in January and then you try to plow all the way through to Revelation by December. And what usually happens to people is they start off and they mean well, but then they hit the book of Leviticus, usually in, you know, about February, and they bail out. And that's why I call February is Bible bailout month, because everybody starts through the Bible in a year in January, but they just can't keep it up. And let me say that I think reading through the Bible in a year is a wonderful thing. I'm in the midst of doing it myself now, and I think Christians should do it periodically. But the research is most people can't. They try and they want to, but they can't. And that's where the Essential 100 comes in. It helps them have a through-the-Bible experience that they say, oh, now I get it. Now I see what the big picture is. Now I see how the pieces fit together.
Well, and it's our hope that even as a result of today's program, that we will encourage many to say, you know, I'm going to just get started. I'm going to find a way to engage in God's Word and, you know, not sort of put the extra pressure on myself that I have to just do something to check off on a list. I want to do it because I want to know who God is. And got some great resources to help you do that, the Essential Bible Guide and the Essential Jesus. In fact, I got a copy of each, and we'll do a drawing here at the end of the show to give those away if you'd like to engage with us today, and I hope that you will as we talk more with Whitney Cunningholm, president of Scripture Union USA. Here's our phone number. It's 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. You might have a big picture question, too, about God's Word, and welcome you to join the conversation as we talk more with Whitney in a moment. I'm going to come back and focus a bit more on the big picture, and we'll get into some strategic steps as well along the way. Thanks for tuning in. It's 877-93-FAITH or online myfaithradio.com, and you can leave us an email question by going to the Connecting Faith show page and click the email link there. We'll talk more with Whitney Cunningholm in a moment.
Just about everybody and everything seems to be on Facebook now.
But in the midst of the soda companies, celebrities, and clothing stores, find an online community built on encouragement and faith.
My Faith Radio is on Facebook. Just type My Faith Radio into your Facebook search box.
Now you're one quick click away from faith resources, daily encouragement, and a chance to interact with your favorite Faith Radio hosts.
Visit us at facebook.com/myfaithradio.
When you listen to and support Faith Radio, your life can be changed day by day. You're hearing the preaching of God's Word through many outstanding teachers. You get an opportunity to learn and apply the principles of what it means to live intentionally, frankly, in your walk with Christ, in your family, and in your daily walk. You know, growing in faith doesn't just happen without setting godly goals and taking daily intentional steps, and Faith Radio is here to help you. Can I ask you to support this great station today? Give online at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
Eighteen past the hour. Whitney Cunningholm is the president of Scripture Union USA, and my guest today, he's written several books, the ones we're referencing today, The Essential Jesus, 100 Readings for the Bible's Greatest Story, and The Essential Bible Guide, which is 100 Readings to the World's Most Important Book. And we've talked a little bit about the Essential 100 Challenge. And I should mention the website, essential100challenge.com, You can that's still up to date, right? Essential 100.
Yeah, still one, and there's also e100challenge.com. That's okay. Easier for people to remember, e100challenge.com.
And the number 100, right? E100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The number 100, right.
E100 challenge. Check that out. Whitney, you mentioned a couple times you were talking about getting the big picture. You know, it's interesting, the last couple of years or so, it seems like there has been maybe a renewed emphasis on that. Max Licato, you know, came out with a book, and it sort of spawned a church-wide curriculum. There have been others that have written, tried to look at, you know, seeing that it's not just sort of isolated books, even though the scriptures are 66 books, that there is one big picture. Talk a little bit about, you know, have we missed it before? Is that why there's been this kind of renewed emphasis on the themes that run through?
Well, I think partly that's the reason. I think also it's because how do we engage with the Bible now? I think a lot of times it's in bits and pieces. So we hear, you know, preaching on a particular passage, or there might be the lectionary that breaks it up in, you know, some church traditions and or different ways. But we're hearing and absorbing the Bible piecemeal. And in perhaps in generations past, you could have the assumption that if you talked about David or if you talked about Daniel, you know, you knew where that fit in the story. But I don't think that assumption is valid anymore. People don't, you know, it's like these unrelated random stories. Where do they all fit? And that's why I think there's a renewed interest in saying, I want to know how the pieces fit together. And also, you know, to see that it really is one continuous story of what, you know, God's intervention in his creation for a particular purpose. And that purpose is for people to know his son, Jesus Christ, and to be with him forever. So, you know, when you see, oh, now that makes sense of why the law. I mean, you know, it wasn't just, a random list of, you know, do's and don'ts to bore us all. No, there's a real practical point, but it also fits into the big story of what God was doing. And once you get that big story, you know, you get that, you're able to recognize the tune that reappears throughout the symphony of the Bible. And once people realize that, the Bible starts to make a whole lot more sense to people when they engage it that way.
I think sometimes you talked about sort of the snowplow method, which, of course, we don't really want to talk about at this point, Whitney, but apparently it is coming. I guess we'll have plenty of snow before we know it. But you know, there is something about maybe reading through the Old Testament. We just go, well, this is history. I don't really know any of these places and the people. And, you know, that not all of us, I guess, love reading history. So, there are a number of different styles. And so, I mean, it is kind of easy to get bogged down, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, what's an interesting thing is I find the people who do the Essential 100 Challenge, they come alive most to the Old Testament. And the reason why is I think people are more familiar with the New Testament, Jesus and the birth of the church and different things like that. But the Old Testament is the place where they spend less time. And when they use the E100 process, that is, they're reading, you know, the storyline of how the storyline goes through all this, they realize that, you know what, this has actually a very contemporary ring. So if you look at the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the story of Joseph, you realize what they're talking about there is a family that's not perfect. It's a dysfunctional family in many ways. And, you know, they have issues of favoritism and arrogance and jealousy and even outright hate, and how those things play out in the context of a family. And people say, well, you know, not all that's in my family for sure, but a lot of people say, you know what, my family has issues. And when they look at the Old Testament having something to say about the family issues that I'm dealing with today, that's the process that makes it come alive. And so that's what I've tried to do, is say, you know what, There's a lot of challenging things that are historical and, you know, related to, you know, the Old Testament systems of worship, and it's all in there. But, boy, there is a very compelling storyline, and if you follow it, I contend that reading through the 50 Old Testament passages in the E100 challenge is probably the most exciting part of the process, because it's the least familiar and the most pleasantly surprising.
been a while since I looked through the Essential Jesus, but it sort of stuck out to me again how much of the at least the beginning of those 100 readings were Old Testament. We think, well, this will be all about the New Testament, the Essential Jesus, but you did a lot of Old Testament sort of preparation for us.
Yeah, and you know I did, and I thought, you know, most people think that the story of salvation began, you know, at the manger and ended at the tomb. And of course that's the key, the high point of it all. But really the story of salvation started right back in the beginning when God created us because he loves us. And you know, that's where you have to start. And then what happened along the way. So what you do in the Essential Jesus Challenge is it's 100 readings that follows that storyline of salvation through the Bible, 25 Old Testament and 75 New Testament. And the way I wrote it and the way I put it together was, you know, I come clean at the very beginning and say, look, I'm a follower of Jesus. So, anybody that's using these materials, this book, I want you to know where I'm coming from. But what I'm going to do is walk you through these 100 passages on this storyline of salvation, and then I'm going to step back and let you come to your own conclusion about who Jesus is. And I believe that if we allow people the space to process, you know, and come to their own conclusion, I believe the Bible is its own best evangelist. And sometimes we push so hard we turn people away. Now, there is definitely a place for witnessing and definitely a place for proclamation of the gospel, but In terms of God's word, I think people are interested and curious about this story. And I believe if we can get them engaged in reading the story in God's word themselves, I believe the Holy Spirit can use that to really open their eyes to who Jesus is. That's sort of the heartbeat behind the Essential Jesus book and program.
You mentioned the salvation story, you know, begins way in the beginning, but is the salvation story, is that the main story, and then there's sort of subplots, or are there, you know, I guess if you were going to summarize in 60 seconds, here's the big picture story, what would it be?
Well, I would say the Bible's greatest story is the story of salvation, you know, that God created us, that he, in the, you know, what the word gives us is, you know, his creation. And then conscience, you know, how we develop, understand his set of right and wrong. That's the whole issue of the law. Then there's Christ, and then there's the church. And, you know, those are the big movements of this story. And together they tell us what God was doing with these men and women that he's created and he loves so much. And the Bible is basically that story, God revealing himself in that story. And, you know, theologians talk about the Bible being God's self-revelation. You know, in reading this big story, what we're doing is getting to know the God behind the story. And once you see that, sort of the big story of the Bible and the author behind that big story, that's when you realize this is like no other book. And one of the things I talk about a lot is what I call the Bible reading secret. And the Bible reading secret is that, you know, the way that makes the Bible come alive is not just to read it intellectually, you know, to get more Bible knowledge and more Bible information and, you know, all of that is good. But what really makes the Bible come alive is when you read the Bible relationally. That is, you're coming to the words of Scripture saying, how does this show me something about the God behind the words, the God, the author of this? The author of creation, the author of his word. And when you begin to see that pattern, that's when the Bible really gets exciting, and that's what makes it come alive.
Whitney Cunningham is the president of Scripture Union USA, by the way, the week before Thanksgiving. So next week is National Bible Week. It's been a tradition for many years in our nation, and so we're taking some time today just to do some more thinking about God's word and the amazing truth that it contains and how we can perhaps engage with it more effectively, as Whitney's just said, about the reading it relationally. That's the Bible reading secret. We have a few more secrets, quote-unquote, we'll get to here in a couple of minutes. Invite you to join the conversation, too. If you'd like, it's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Whitney's president of Scripture Union USA. He's written several books. We're talking about the Essential Bible Guide. and the Essential Jesus, and you can find out more about that on their great one of their sites is e100challenge.com. It's an opportunity to engage maybe as a group or a church. And we'll talk more with Whitney in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith. We're happy to have connected today with Whitney Cunningham, president of Scripture Union USA. Their ministry has been in operation for, well, 100, I guess what, about 150 years or so, and have put together a great many resources. In fact, we want to talk about some of their wonderful resources and ways that we might be able to more effectively engage in God's Word. National Bible Week next week, and it should be first and foremost priority at every day. But so how do we do that in a way that doesn't just become sort of rote or we can get bogged down? And Whitney's giving some great ideas. He's written a couple books we're referencing today, The Essential Bible Guide and The Essential Jesus. Both include 100 readings through this great story. We've been talking about it. Whitney, I know Scripture Union doesn't, do translations or publish them, but there are certainly many, and I'm interested, I guess, if you have some thoughts about why there seems to be, you know, such maybe strong feelings, I guess, particularly for those that that only want to read the King James Version or believe that's the only version. There's a lot of versions out there.
Yeah, there are, and, you know, people have strong feelings about it because they're so committed and passionate about the authority of Scripture, and I share the commitment to the authority of God's Word. One of the great things about today is that there are many good translations, and I see that as a positive. That the best translation is one that you read and understand. And if you don't read it or you don't understand it, it may be technically accurate, but it's not getting into your mind and heart. So that's one of the great things about all the translations today. And I should say, at Scripture Union, we don't endorse any one translation. So we don't, whether it's the King James or the NIV or any of the wonderful translations out there today, we don't endorse one or the others. Our material and all the Essential 100 and Essential Jesus material can be used with any Bible translation. And I think that's why one of the reasons why pastors like it so much is that, whatever translation they use in their church or their church tradition, the material works. But I see that the key issue is not so much arguing about which translation is the best. I say get people reading any translation at all, and that's really the big issue. You know, I was talking earlier about how most people just aren't engaging with God's Word. That's the big issue that I think all of us as believers can unite around. And the church would be stronger and society would have more of a biblical influence if, as Christians, we rallied around the thing of the big mission of getting people into God's Word.
It does seem like, though, this multitude of translations, and then, of course, everybody has their sort of commentary, their study Bibles with that. I mean, you can get sort of one for almost any situation or circumstance. And I don't know, does that have a diluting effect, you think, on if we have sort of too many?
Well, I think sometimes it's commercially driven, I'm sure. Do we need another translation? Probably not, at least, in this generation. If you look online, you can see lots of different translations and so forth. I think it's important to keep in mind the distinction between a translation and a paraphrase. They have different purposes, but I think it's kind of like reading different news accounts of the same story. You get different angles, different insights, and so long as people are committed to the authority of Scripture and take that seriously, I think there's something to be gained by the different translations. I mean, I love reading a classic translation, like the King James or New King James or even the ESV, but I also like reading a contemporary, translation like the NIV, the New International Version, and even a paraphrase at time. It just helps me just really understand that people who have reflected on this text and trying to uncover what it means, it helps. So I think it's a positive that we have these options. And, you know, I have just my own experience. I remember when I was in college, I really loved the Living Bible. You know, I know that's a paraphrase, and, you know, there were people who criticized it way back when. But, boy, that helped me become the regular Bible reader that I am today. And I've moved on to, you know, several other translations that I use, whether I'm studying or reading devotionally or whatever. But I'm so thankful for a paraphrase that opened up God's Word in a new way for me.
Yeah, which is, again, what we're all about today is about Bible engagements, about the reading it to understand, reading relationally. Well, let's talk about understanding, because, you know, sometimes we wonder, God portrayed in the Old Testament seems quite a bit different than the New Testament, and yet there are, I know you address it in the essential Jesus, there are some hard sayings of Jesus, too, and, you know, there are some things we just can't seem to understand.
Yeah, there are some hard things in the Bible, and that's why I included that, because if we say it's all easy to understand and all positive and happy, and people read it, they say, well, you know, you're not being straight with me. So it's important to understand all of what God's Word is. And you know that thought you just introduced about the perceived difference of the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, that's a very popular thought. You know, you often will hear people say that. And yet I would contend it's a misconception of the big story of the Bible. Because if you read the Old Testament, you see a God who's incredibly patient, incredibly passionate, incredibly merciful. And, you know, there's just, you know, many examples of that. And in the New Testament, you see Jesus who, yes, he was loving and turned the other cheek and all the things that we read in the Sermon on the Mount, and yet Jesus was the one that delivered one of the most stinging sermons, his seven woes. Woe unto you, you know, you whitewashed tombs. And so what I would contend is God is incredibly loving, and also God, at a certain point, there's judgment on sin, and you find both of those themes interwoven in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So but, you know, there are lots of things in the Bible, even so, that are hard to understand, you know, like when Jesus said, you know, ask anything in my name and I'll do it, you know, or, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Those are hard things for us to understand. And, you know, I think sometimes in the New Testament, what Jesus was doing is he was commenting on those things, like on the eat my flesh and drink my blood. He was commenting on those things from an eternal perspective, and his listeners were hearing it from a temporal perspective. And you need to understand so the way Jesus was saying it, and then it begins to make a lot more sense. So there's lots of those things. In fact, that's one of the things I do in the Essential Jesus. You know, it's the storyline of salvation from beginning to end of the Bible, but we stop along the way to examine a few of those tough sayings and try to understand what they really mean.
Is that important? We talked about, you know, reading relationally. Do we also need to read with an eternal perspective? I mean, is that one of the keys to more clearly engaging?
I think it is. And, you know, because the end of the story is Jesus is going to come back someday. You know, that's what he clearly tells us in his word. He doesn't tell us when it's going to happen. And, you know, we can kind of get sidetracked on predicting the exact time. But one thing we know for sure, he is coming back. So we know what the end of the world's greatest story is, and that is, you know, Jesus' final return. And that's what makes it exciting, because what I do in the Essential Jesus basically is say, you can step into that story. You know, when you see that your story can become part of God's bigger story, that's when not just your Christian life and your experience of the Bible makes sense, that's when all of life makes sense. And I think so many people are living their lives disjointed and disconnected from God's big story. And they say, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm rushing around. I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to hold my family together. But it's got to fit in, to mean something more. And that's why, sort of another reason why I think that notion of the big story resonates with people, because that's where my story begins to make sense.
Well, speaking of your story, we're talking with Whitney Cunningham, who's president of Scripture Union USA, and about a couple of resources that he's written, the Essential Bible Guide, 100 Readings to the World's Most Important Book, and the Essential Jesus, 100 Readings to the Bible's Greatest Story. And, of course, they have developed many resources at Scripture Union, including the E100 Challenge. It's something that you can do as an individual or maybe even church-wide. But I'm interested, as you've kind of done the research of this, you grew up in a family of faith. So were there things as you worked through some of these essentials that maybe stood out to you, things that maybe you hadn't seen before?
Well, there were a lot of things that, you know, stood out to me. One that I mentioned already was in the Old Testament, how much that the Old Testament speaks to contemporary families today. And, you know, that you think, oh, the Bible, that's where all those perfect people were. Well, not really. You know, there was people that made a lot of mistakes, and God used them. Another thing that I found interesting in the New Testament was what I do in one of the chapters is I line up all four of the accounts from the Gospel of the Resurrection plus a passage from Paul on the resurrection. And to read just all the five resurrection passages all together, boy, you really start to understand what happened and why that was so significant and why the fact that Jesus did come alive, that the resurrection is true, that the tomb was empty, why that literally is the linchpin of the Christian life. You pull that out and everything else falls apart. But that's why I wanted to really focus on that. And it was fascinating even for me, you know, to do that and to gain new insights into, you know, why that was so significant. And, you know, you talked about, you know, my own family. I have the great blessing of growing up in a family that, you know, I have two parents that love God, loved each other, and loved me and steered me toward God. And the older I get, the more I realize what a incredible blessing that was, and I don't take it for granted. But one of the things that my dad taught me about Bible reading and is, you know, that when you fall behind, you know, and we all do, you know, is I wrote a little booklet called Confessions of a Guilty Bible Reader, and it's all about the issue of, you know, how do we deal with the interplay between our love of God's Word and our guilt for the times that we don't read it. But he said, when you fall behind, don't feel guilty. Don't try to catch up or make it up. He said, just start today and go forward. Start today and go forward. And I've always remembered that. I don't think he realized what he was saying to me at the time, but I think that's good advice not only for Bible reading, but I think it's good advice for all of the Christian life. Start today and go forward.
In a moment, we'll expand on that a little bit more and talk about maybe some practical ways that we can start today, go forward. If you are like probably most of us, you've fallen behind a time or two. I'm trying to think. I think I'm someplace in the middle of October, my one-year Bible reading. So I think I'm not keeping up. But so we're going to start today. And what does that look like? We'll get Whitney's perspective in a moment here on Connecting Faith. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Whitney Cunningham, president of Scripture Union USA. We're talking about the Essential Bible Guide. Check it out, the E100Challenge.com.
Real encouragement for an active walk of faith. Podcast audio of today's programs on Faith Radio in case you missed the show. The very latest on conferences and events in your area. It's all in one place and delivered right to your inbox from Faith Radio when you subscribe by email to myfaithradio.com. Head to myfaithradio.com and enter your email address in the subscribe box right at the top of the page, helping you connect faith to life every day at myfaithradio.com.
If you wanted to encourage someone far away a couple hundred years ago, you might have to work pretty hard.
But thankfully, it's 2013, and real encouragement is now just a cell phone or computer screen away when you join My Faith Radio on Twitter.
It's your 24/7, 365 dose of the very latest in connecting your faith to your life. Find wisdom, insight, and be reminded that you're not alone.
Connect with Faith Radio on Twitter. Just look for My Faith Radio on Twitter.com.
Changing me, calling me to know you more. The Word of God is life to me. I believe in you. It's 46 past the hour, and spending some time today talking with Whitney Cunningholm, president of Scripture Union USA. Find out more about their great resources and some of the programs, and especially the program, the E100 Challenge, e100challenge.com, or it's Scripture Union, scriptureunion.org, I think, isn't it, Whitney?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's right.
All right. Whitney has written a couple of resources we're referencing, the Essential Bible Guide and the Essential Jesus. And Whitney, you talked a little bit about, you know, the guilt of falling behind, one of the little booklets you've written. I'm behind, but I don't want to make, Bible reading simply something sort of rigid that I just have to check off. So what are some recommendations for us when we're busy? I mean, is that if we miss a day, is that okay? How would you recommend and maybe talk about some of the resources the Scripture Union has that we can engage so that it doesn't feel like a duty necessarily?
Right, and I think a lot of people struggle with the issue of guilt and Bible reading and guilt. And like I said before the break, that's why I wrote that little booklet, the Confessions of a Guilty Bible Reader. What I did is share, you know, not only the breakthroughs and the joys of reading God's Word and meeting God in the context of His Word, but also the struggles. And sometimes it is. You know, I mean, every time you open the Bible, you know, you don't see spiritual fireworks. And I think it's our enemy who wants to turn Bible reading into a guilt-driven chore. You know, it's our enemy that wants us to think that, well, if I don't read my Bible today, you know, God's going to love me less and something bad is going to happen to me today or whatever. But, you know, it's our Heavenly Father who's waiting to meet with us in His Word. And He loves us whether we miss a day or not. And it's important for us to understand that. In fact, that's sort of the ethos behind the Essential 100 Challenge. You know, it's undated. You know, so you can start and end whenever you want. And if you, quote, miss a few days, that's okay, because if you do the next day, we're reinforcing success. And the goal is not to be perfect. The goal is to learn to meet God in His Word. So, but how can you do that? And what are some of the practical tips? Well, I think it's important to understand what I would call your devotional type. You know, in psychology, they talk about, you know, your personality type. And I think there's a devotional type. You know, so for many years, people say, well, or it's just sort of the way, you know, you just hear, you should get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, you know. I woke up at 4 a.m. because I overslept a few, you know, and then I had 3 hours of intense Bible reading and whatever. And that's a good thing. But, you know, not everybody is a morning person. So what I like to encourage people to say is, look, are you a nighttime person? Are you a young mom where getting up in the morning is about feeding kids and getting kids off to school? And we're not going to make you feel guilty because you're not, you know, up with a candle and a Bible. So what's your devotional type, and what's the space in your day that God's Word fits? And then commit, to meeting God in that time. Maybe it's your lunch break. Maybe it's, on the commute into work. But whenever it is, find that sort of your devotional personality and the devotional time. And I think as Christian leaders and pastors, we need to affirm this. You know, I just have a special burden for young moms who maybe are made to feel guilty because they can't, you know, get up at 6 a.m. for intense Bible reading. Well, they may, you know, when the kids are asleep and taking a nap, that can be a rich time in God's Word. So I want to affirm whenever it is and whatever your devotional type, just meet God in His Word.
Have we by talking about, you know, God's words, it's akin to having our daily meals. So does that sort of add to the pressure to say, well, I can't afford to be, you know, I've skipped a couple of meals this week, and, you know, is that a good way to look at God's Word and what it connects us with?
It is a good way, and I think it's a good metaphor, the notion of spiritual nurture and spiritual food and spiritual growth. That's what God's Word and prayer enables us to do. And so, you know, what I want to do is encourage people to take the guilt factor out, but I don't want to encourage them to stop eating. And so they need to, you know, whatever way it is, have a regular pattern in God's Word. You know, one of the things we did with the Essential 100 Challenge is we spent a lot of time researching habit formation. And, you know, instead of just making the Bible and our approach to the Bible a study-oriented thing, we looked at how industry uses habit formation principles to help people maintain positive behavior. So we looked at Jenny Craig. you know, how do they use habit formation principles to help people have a balanced diet? Or we looked at the exercise industry. We looked at, you know, all different ways that habit formation is integrated into industry. We applied those to the Essential 100 Challenge. So one of the things, if your listeners had one of the punch-out cards, it's the reading schedule, but it has 100 little punch-out holes, and you read the passage, and then you punch it out, and it seems like, well, that's kind of corny, but actually that's a habit formation principle, tracking your progress. And so it's one of the ways we're trying to help people, wherever in the space of time and day that they do it, our, quote, secret agenda is that they make it a habit, because when they make it a habit, that's when they really begin to grow spiritually.
Well, you do have, you mentioned the E100 punch-out cards. Those are great resources. But you've also done, I mean, the little studies, Discovery or Encounter with God. Those are really classics. Say a word about those.
Yeah, those are daily dated Bible reading guides. I make the distinction between a devotional, which there are many excellent ones out there today, and a Bible reading guide. A Bible reading guide is one that takes you into the text of Scripture and helps you reflect on it. And so, you know, we have a simple Bible reading method. You know, you pray, and then you read God's Word, and then you reflect on it, and we provide comments to help you with that. And then a key step is to apply, not just, I did it, punch the clock and go, but no, I got to figure out, now, what does this mean for me in my life? And then pray again, God, I need your help to live out God's Word. So one of the guides that we have is called Encounter with God, and the other one is called Discovery, and they are for people who just really want some daily help in meeting God in His Word. And, you know, Neil, the one thing that all of these resources and all of the things that we're talking about today I think really point to is what I call Bible reading revival. And I really sense a bigger move of what God is doing in the church today, and I call that Bible reading revival. And that's simply when people are reading and living God's Word together in community. There's a real spiritual energy that breaks loose. So what we're talking about today with your listeners is not just a personal spiritual discipline, Bible reading. I mean, it is that. But really what we're talking about is the key to the renewal of the church itself. When people at a grassroots level are saying, we are going to get it into God's Word, we're going to read it and live it, that's when the church comes alive, and that's when I think the church has the most effective biblical influence in society. So this little thing of Bible reading and prayer, you know, some people think of it as that's a sleepy Sunday school discipline. I actually think in the United States and in the West, it's the key to the renewal of the church.
Wendy, one of our callers just called in and talked about, you know, we often hear about various sort of rebranding inside the church to make the message more applicable to the new generation. But this one book has remained applicable and life-changing all these centuries, hasn't it?
It has, and I don't think we need to rebrand the Bible. I just think we need to get more people into it. You know, one of the interesting things, I said the Essential 100 Challenge is spread all around the world, and, you know, millions of people have done it, and it's just taken off faster than we ever imagined. But the way it all got started is I'm a husband and father of three children, and 10 years ago I was doing my own devotion, you know, my own Bible reading one morning, and I, you know, just God gave me a burden and a thought about my own kids, and I'm thankful that they're all followers of Jesus, but I wanted to pass on my love for God's Word to them before they were grown and gone. So literally on the back of an envelope, I started making a list of scriptures that, you know, somehow dear old dad wanted to get across to the kids, our three kids. Well, that list grew and grew. It took me 2 years of tinkering around with it, 50 Old Testament, 50 New Testament. It eventually became the Essential 100 Challenge. That's what spread all around the world to 20 languages. But for me, the most humbling and the most amazing thing about this is I didn't have some global Bible reading plan or whatever. I was just a dad sitting there in the morning reading my Bible, thinking about my kids, and God used that impulse to get people all over the place reading His Word. That's what's humbling to me.
I know that you spent some time working for Prison Fellowship Ministries. One of the passions I know at Scripture Union is dealing with at-risk kids. I mean, the fact is that society needs, I mean, we know it, but we need God's Word more than ever, don't we?
We do, and the question with at-risk kids is, how does Bible engagement happen in a place where kids, you know, were just up against all the problems and pressures of, you know, poverty and crime, and a lot of times those issues are concentrated in the inner cities of our country. And so what Scripture Union does is, you know, in those cases, Bible engagement is not just a program or a brochure or a book that you get. Bible engagement takes the form of a hands-on incarnational program. So we have primetime after-school programs, Bible-based, where we live it out with kids in some of the toughest neighborhoods of our country. We partner with the Salvation Army. They have, you know, they have buildings and we have programs, and we put the two together to reach kids with God's Word. And we do a super kids summer program where wherever the kids are, you know, whether it's a park or a beach or you name it, we go to where they are and say, you know what, we have something that you're going to be interested in. And they do. They love it. So, yeah, Bible engagement takes an incarnational form when you're talking about at-risk children.
Bible engagement is at the heart of what we've been talking about today. Next week, National Bible Week. It's not just something where we want to, you know, look at the nice covers or all the new commentaries or whatever it might be. But say, how can we begin to read it and understand the big story of salvation and read it relationally and get to know the God behind the stories? And Whitney Cunningham, president of Scripture Union USA, is offering us some good opportunities through the Essential Bible Guide and the Essential Jesus and the other resources they have available. You can check it out at scriptureunion.org. Or if you'd like to be a part of the Essential 100 Challenge, that's e100challenge.com, e100challenge.com. Whitney, thanks for scribbling down some notes some years ago and for putting it into this wonderful opportunity. I hope that many individuals and churches will take it, and we can see a Bible reading revival in our land.
Well, that's what we're praying and working for. But it's great to be with you, Neil.
Whitney Cunningham, president of Scripture Union USA. Again, the e100challenge.com is the website if you'd like to find out more and get plugged in. And some of the resources that they have available as well, scriptureunion.org. If you missed part of today's program and would like to just catch it on podcast, we put them up online after the show every day, so you have an opportunity to listen and pass it on to a friend. It's myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. Again, coming up tomorrow, Randy Newman. We'll talk about how do we effectively talk about faith at home. Bringing the gospel home is a topic tomorrow on Connecting Faith.